Amen. Thank you for standing. If you turn to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, here's where Samuel comes to Saul after God gives Saul a commandment to destroy all of the Amalekites, and he doesn't do it because the people didn't want him to. So he listened to the people rather than he listened to God. In verse number 16, it says, "Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed." So the promotion came when he was little in his own sight. Amen. Wasn't trumped up, wasn't a big man. He was shocked that God said he could be king. Right. Yeah. Amen. And then if you'll turn to Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. I can do all things, not through me, but I can do all things through Christ. And then if you'll go to John, the 15th chapter. Verse number 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Amen. Can't do a thing without God. Amen. We all have certain abilities, we all have certain talents. Some of us have some confidence in some of the things that we do. And that's all wonderful if your confidence is in God. But if your confidence is in the flesh or your abilities, God has got to enroll us in a school. He has to, because he wants to strengthen us. He wants to give us, but he can't give us through our own abilities. He has to give it to us through his strength. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. God, that through it, we could draw closer to you, have a better understanding of what your purpose for our life is. We're grateful to be in your house. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In a couple of months, it'll be nonstop campaigning. If you think it's bad now, oh my Lord, probably most of the newspapers and all of the advertising that goes on, radio and TV, will be nonstop in order to position somebody to be the next president of the United States. First of all, I can't understand why anybody would want that job. But to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars to advertise, to say, I'm better than everybody else, is beyond me. Better equipped for the job than all of the rest. The Bible tells us to let another give praise and not you of yourself. Whenever you start to advertise your own abilities, God's saying, you know, could you sit down at the end of the bench over there? Because, you know, as you advertise how good you are, I did it, I can have it, I am, elevate our abilities or what we have accomplished or the position that we have, well, that isn't a part of God's agenda. And I'm afraid some of that has spilled into the church over the years because we're inundated by it so much. So much of it is saying, you are worthy, you are valued. And, well, we are to God, but this world, we're not. Amen. So then, I am Pastor Schumacher, and I've approved the following message. I caution you, it may not be politically correct, but I'm glad to tell you that no animals were injured in the making of this message. There are a number of candidates that are saying nothing but they're saying it very loud, and they're saying it very often. Last week when we were with Governor Walker, he said this. He was preparing for, I guess, the debate that is going to happen tonight, probably is happening right now. And he said, I was kind of caught off balance in the last debate because he asked me questions that really didn't have any kind of relevancy to what I am doing. And so this time, when they ask me a question, I'm going to ignore the question and I'm going to tell them what I want to say. And I was thinking about that and I'm thinking, that's what Jesus did. Nicodemus came to him in the middle of the night and said, you know, I know you must be a man of God because nobody can do these miracles. In other words, I'm going to build you up, tell you how great you are. And he completely ignored the question and he said, you need to be born of the water and born of the Spirit or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He never answered his question because Jesus had an agenda. Glory to God. Amen. So tonight I'd like to say something, but let me assure you that I am nothing. And that's the problem when sometimes we think we are something when we are absolutely nothing. John 15 and 5 said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If we're consistently holding on to God, you teach a Bible study or preach a message, if you're not holding on to God, if you're not getting something from God, we got nothing going for us. But then it says, for without me, you can do nothing. And so tonight I want to preach a nothing message. Turn to someone and say, hi, I'm nothing, and you must be nobody. Glory to God. How many know what nothing is good for? You can't do something with nothing. You can't make something out of nothing. Nothing is helpless. Nothing is hopeless. Nothing is useless unless it becomes something. And so far, this is a nothing message. Now, God doesn't see nothing like we see nothing. You know, he spoke the world into existence, and he didn't have any material in order to do that. He just spoke into nothing, and all of a sudden, the world was something. In fact, nothing in the hands of God is just the opposite, because for God, nothing is the raw material for everything. God stood on nothing, spake to nothing, and he said, let there be, and it was something. He spake to the nothing, and the world sprang into existence. His words that could not be seen caused things to appear that didn't exist. Have I confused you yet? Amen. Even today, as we speak the word of God to people, those words turn nothing into something. We don't understand how valuable our words are. He says, my word will not return unto me void. And I see this in Bible studies where I just simply speak the word of God and all of a sudden something appears that wasn't there before. There's a faith that emerges, a sensitivity to the things of God that happens. Last night I was in a Bible study and in the middle of it, I just couldn't speak. I just could not speak at all. The power of God was so strong. And then all of a sudden, I looked around and there were tears just trickling down the cheeks of people that were in the room because God's word produce something. For God, nothing is the raw material of everything. Why is that important to us? Because if you feel you are nothing, that you have nothing to offer, nothing to contribute, you are empty and helpless, then you are exactly what God needs to perform a miracle. And that's why we have to be so careful that we're not puffed up or think of us as something. You know, we've arrived, we've got, we do. Turn to Exodus, the 4th chapter, please. Exodus chapter 4. This is Moses responding to God. Verse number 10 of that 4th chapter. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Can you imagine God takes credit for those who are deaf and dumb, who can't see? Yet that's what it's saying. Now therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. So God is saying, you are the perfect candidate because you realize you're nothing. And because you realize you're nothing, then I can make something out of you. Amen. Glory to God. I've seen God elevate people who thought they didn't have anything going for them, and I've seen God demote people who thought they were something. Amen. Listen, the closer we are to nothing, the more powerful God is in our lives. The weaker we are, the stronger He is. It is when we are nothing that He becomes everything to us. The potential is not in us, not our strength, our skill, our talent, but it's all in God. I rely on Him totally for everything. Amen. And God said, I'm up to the task. Amen. So His disciples have been fishing all night. Now, these guys knew about fishing because that's what they did. It was their profession. They understood water temperature, barometric pressure, moon phases, underwater foundations, and where the fish were going to be at any given time. And when their boat came slowly into shore, Jesus is waiting for them, and He says, Children, have ye any meat? You can hear the humanity in their response. We fished all night. Their first response was, listen, it wasn't our fault. We put forth the effort. Do you ever get to the place where, God, I put forth the effort. I've done everything that you said I should do, and yet there's nothing. We weren't out there playing around. We were really working. We were throwing the nets out. We were pulling the nets in. We're tired, but circumstances conspired against us. They fished all night, but they came back with nothing. They had a boatload of nothing. Their ice chest was full of nothing. Jesus heard their excuses and smiles. Perfect. Let me have your nothing, and I'll show you what I can do with it. Soon the boat was full of fish because they responded the way Jesus wanted. Jesus, you don't know about fishing. You don't understand what I'm dealing with on the job. You don't understand my relatives. I think I do. But if you'll give me your nothing, if you'll take and give me your desperation, I can fix it. Verse 2 later, He makes it clear that if you abide in me and my words in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If without him we are helpless, if without his presence and spirit we can do nothing, then with him we can do everything. Amen. Amen. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He established churches all across the known world. He survived a shipwreck. He was stoned and he was left for dead. He was in jail on a number of occasions. He changed the world with his preaching and teaching, and here is what he said: if I am going to brag about anything, if I'm going to glory in anything, I will glory in my infirmities or my weaknesses. I will glory in what I cannot do so I can glory in what he can do. And I came in fear and trembling and with no eloquence of speech, but in a demonstration and power of the Spirit of God. More is changed by a demonstration of God's Spirit than anything. You know what? We sometimes think if we just had the right words, if we just had the right scripture, if we just had the right dialogue, that I could just mesmerize somebody with the thoughts that I have and the knowledge that I have in scripture, that would do it. And you know what? That's not true. It's a demonstration of God's Spirit. And sometimes God just stops everything. And there is a demonstration of God's Spirit, and all of a sudden you're overwhelmed by the power and the presence of God, and it does more than a lifetime of talking to people. Amen. Amen. Would you turn to Acts, the 16th chapter, please? Acts chapter 16, verse 19. Says, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace onto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs that are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, it just doesn't make sense. They're doing the work of God, and there were many stripes laid on them. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. It almost sounds like this thing going on in Kentucky. You know, where we want to do what's right, and the magistrates throw somebody in jail. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, on awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And of course, later on, we find that the jailer and all of his family were saved as a result of them being in prison. Paul and Silas were preaching in Philippi, and things were not going well for them. There were no converts, no revivals. People were not responding to the message of God. People were not responding to the... Can somebody say amen? Amen. But then Paul and Silas were arrested for casting a demon out of a slave girl, and apparently this was a law within Philippi, and they were beaten and put into the darkest, deepest part of the prison. They were put in stocks in an infested dungeon full of rats and roaches. And then Silas turns to Paul and says, why didn't you tell them? Why didn't you say something? And Paul says, what? Why didn't you tell them that you're a Roman citizen? And they can't do this to you because you have rights. All you had to do is open your mouth and tell them that you're somebody, that you have rights, you have citizenship. You are one of those who they can't put in prison. And then we wouldn't be in this place. We wouldn't be in this jam. We wouldn't be in this docks. We wouldn't be in the darkest part of this prison. Paul, we wouldn't be sitting here or even have taken the beating if you would have just exercised your right. Paul just starts a favorite song, starts singing. All of the prisoners start hearing the song and they're feeling what Paul and Silas are feeling. But more than that, the sounds reach heaven. The sounds of their worship in the middle of their pain and helplessness reaches the throne of God, and God has to dispatch angels to grab a hold of the corners of the jail and shake it until the foundation shakes and the doors are open, and all of a sudden they're able to walk out. But Paul said, "Fear not, we're all here." Paul preaches the gospel to the jailer, and his whole family gets baptized and saved. Their revival comes to Philippi. Maybe a couple of days later, when Paul's finishing his altar call and people are being baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, just maybe, Paul walks over to Silas and puts his arm around him and says, "That's why. Because we could not have brought this revival, but God could bring the revival because he took our nothing and turned it into something." And whenever you get to the place where you're frustrated by what you can do, what you can produce, what can happen for you, then you got to say, "God, I'm very happy to turn whatever abilities that I have over to you, because you can take my nothing and turn it into something." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If I had used who I was, if I had used my strength, my citizenship, I would have only gotten what Rome could give me. But when I let God be God and I became nobody, I got what God could do, free from prison and revival. And he said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." I think what we need to do is promote our God more and us less. When you meet somebody and you want to get them to come to church, don't tell them about our church. Tell them about our God. Tell them what God does for us. Tell them how great God is among us. Glory to God. "I didn't want to impress you with my wisdom," he says, "or my abilities. Just I want them to feel the power and the presence of God." The same day that Ronald Reagan died, a man by the name of Stanley Chambers was laid to rest. Same time. Both were great men. Few knew Stanley Chambers outside of Pentecost, but he was our general superintendent for a number of years. I've heard him preach at General Conference. I've heard his messages. He was an outstanding man, had great influence on our organization. His influence will live forever and ever. A man who was nobody in the eyes of the world, but in the hands of God, he was somebody. Never had a lot in this world, but he did a whole lot for this world. Jesus said in John 5:30, "I can of mine own self do nothing," that was the flesh speaking, "as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." So what he's saying is, in the flesh, I can do nothing. And in the Gospels, you see, he's talking from the office of the sonship, and he's also talking from the office of God as well. And he recognizes that in the flesh we can do nothing, but in the spirit we are powerful. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. If you turn to Philippians, the 2nd chapter, I'm almost done with this nothing message. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 6, "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of the servant and was made in the likeness of men." Made himself of no reputation. When when men like Brother Drury, who knows everybody there is in Pentecost, I haven't gone to General Conference in a couple of years, and General Conference is next week. I don't plan to go. I can get the DVDs and whatever. But many times men like him will say, well, do you know Brother who is? And I'll say, no, I don't know them. It'd be nice if I got to know them, but they'll never know who I am, and it does not matter. I don't care if anybody knows my name. I don't care if I ever have any kind of fame. It's all about, God, what do you want me to do? I've said this before. Brother James Kilgore died about a year ago. Brother Kilgore was about 85 years old, probably produced one of the greatest churches in Houston, Texas, was our assistant general superintendent for many years. And he fell and injured himself, and within a day he died. And they found on his desk Bible notes for the Bible study he was doing the following morning in a Starbucks restaurant with a small group of people. I thought to myself, God, that's the person I want to be. All right. If somebody asked me to preach a general conference or a great conference, it doesn't matter to me. But if there's anything that excites me, is sitting in front of a hungry sinner who wants God. Because I don't recognize myself as anything. We shouldn't recognize ourselves with anything. It's not who we are, it's whose we are, who we belong to, that really makes the difference in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to John, the 19th chapter, please. John chapter 19, starting in verse number 6, says, when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Isn't that a paradox? I find no fault in him, so let's go out and crucify him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. You have no power except the power that God gives us. This is the man that walked on water, who calmed the sea, brought Lazarus back to dead, yet this man, Jesus, looked at Pilate and said, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Don't you understand that I have all power in heaven and earth, and I could release myself and have legions of angels come to my defense? He never claimed that he could do it himself, but the Spirit or the Father could. It is said that Jesus emptied himself of his divinity that he might become like us. He couldn't become like us unless he emptied himself of all that was God. Then we must empty ourselves of our humanity if we want to become all of what he is. I can do nothing except he allow it. I have to hold on to the gardener. I have to get all of my strength and anything that I accomplish, I need to give him glory. As Jeremiah 9 says, if you're going to glory in anything, don't glory in your wisdom, don't glory in your strength, glory in the Lord, because he's the one who can bring it to fruition. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every day I try to ask God, give me the right perspective. Make sure my thoughts are right and my position is right. God says, you can't love me unless you love the brethren. And what the enemy would try to do would be to trip us up by feeling these feelings of bitterness towards somebody else, and God saying, you know what, if you can't love the brethren, you can't love me at all. So every day it has to be a clean slate. I can't have any ill feelings to anybody at all. Or I'm walking in my own strength and my own abilities rather than in the power of God. Can't allow ourselves to be tripped up that way, in any form. Glory to God. Because he wants to use us as instruments as long as we're willing to divest ourselves of our own strength and our abilities. The altar's open. Would you come?